Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. If you want to know what needs to be done about the mess in the Middle East, hang on. You are in for a treat today. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
First, perhaps we should take a moment to appreciate why this is, or why at least it should be, important to you. That is, why you might want to secure a home defense kit. You know, like the ones we give away at our annual Lights On banquet, coming up, by the way, this coming November. You can call in even right now and reserve your seats. And by the way, this year is going to be a blowout. And also, why you might want to spend some time at our local gun range with our friends there at Tactical, and why you will want to attend our Second Amendment gun show planned at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, where you will learn how to safely prepare your family and protect them for what's coming, and why you might want to secure a concealed carry permit. Why should we be concerned about ISIS? Why should we engage in this conflict? Think for a moment about those kids who are going around playing the knockout game, you know, where some thug randomly chooses a victim, comes up behind them and knocks them out with one punch and then runs away. That is going on, you know. It's what some of our young people are getting into these days. It's what some of them call fun. So far, every report is black on white, and the rationale is white people are bad because some white guy 100 years or so ago kept slaves. Irrational, right? I mean, you know, blacks kept slaves too. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. And they were reputed as being among the most cruel of all slaveholders. So what is with this anyway? Here are the excuses given by some of these kids. In Philly, three charged with playing this knockout game explained they chose their victims because they were white. In Cleveland, Ohio, some black kids attacked a white kid, taunting him with white boy, cracker, you know, all that kind of thing. And then one of them said, knock that cracker out, and they did. Here's a knockout gamer who explained, and are you ready for this? The reason I hit her was in self-defense because of the way she looked. I know, irrational, bizarre. Well, what if someone there at ISIS gets the bright idea to send into our streets recruits who will randomly kill in our streets? You know, like these knockout game thugs who randomly attack citizens in some of our streets today. Recently, a tweet went out from ISIS calling on those who want to help the cause to go into the streets and randomly behead citizens. Australia uncovered such a plot and arrested the perps before they could launch. Yeah, Fox News, you know, Kelly, reported that ISIS is aggressively recruiting supporters to search social media, find those who self-identify as soldiers, hunt them down, and kill them. What if, in order to obey Allah and, quote, terrorize their enemies, end quote, as the Quran teaches, in the Quran, Surah 8, verse 60, and they decide to expand the targets to include civilians? After all, they continually harp about our soldiers killing civilians over there, right? And our media buys into this, laying down the rationale so they can use it to justify themselves when they decide to kill our civilians. You know, we kill their civilians, so they kill ours. You know, we kill their civilians, right? The ones they hide behind in order to kill civilians in Israel. These people are simply irrational and in a scary, crazy, maniacal way that defies rational explanation and answers to only one thing. And that is superior force. ISIS wants to establish their caliphate, a sort of Islamic empire over the world. And they are calling on supporters everywhere in the world to rise up wherever they are and to begin attacking and terrorizing their enemy, which is anyone who is not Muslim, by the way, specifically a radicalized jihad-headed Muslim. So do we need to be concerned that something like this could develop here? Do we need to be concerned that perhaps there is an effort to launch a multi-pronged attack on the social order of America? For example, you know, where certain blacks, not all, of course. I mean, do I have to say that? Maybe I do. Do I have to say that, you know, some whites are bigoted racists who deserve our scorn and should be exposed for what they are? I know my audience is pretty savvy, and you know that I'm simply saying it like it is. Racism of any color is all the same to me. Wicked meanness used as an excuse to steal, destroy, and kill. Or in other words, to do the work of the devil. Just like Bible thump alert, like Jesus said, quote, the thief, and by the way, in context, he's talking about the devil, you know, the one our schools want our kids to get to know better through Satanist coloring books. You hear about that one? Yeah. A school in Florida is distributing satanic coloring books to the kids. That's opening the door to Satan, who, according to Jesus, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And yet Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, in quote John 10:10. But according to a public school in West Covina, California, quote, Jesus is not allowed in school, in quote. That's what this teacher told a first grader. But Satanist coloring books are welcome. Is there a relationship between this business of kicking Jesus out of our schools and welcoming Satan into our schools and the anarchy that is simmering? You know, Alinsky did dedicate his book, Rules for Radicals, to Lucifer or Satan. Do we need to be concerned about these developments? Some confused, radicalized, irrational black kids randomly attacking whites, using every pretense of an excuse to stir up a riot and attacking their neighborhoods, their own neighborhoods even, looting and committing acts of vandalism. Is that going to develop into a general rioting in the streets? And is this the reason? Some are doing everything they can to stoke these fires of racial resentment. And are we allowing our borders to swell with illegals in order to provide cover for the infiltration of radical jihad-headed ISIS members who are being sent here on a mission to get into our neighborhoods and organize a kind of flash mob of their own kind, killing randomly anyone who happens to be in their reach? Now, folks, these are serious questions, and they are important questions. What is going on? Why is the administration acting in ways that encourage racial division and increases racial tensions while leaving our border so porous radical jihad-headed Islamists are able to get into our country intent on carrying out their jihad here on our soil? You know, while his foreign policy always seems to work to the advantage of groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, whom Egypt has identified as a terrorist sponsoring organization, and ultimately arms groups like ISIS? I mean, is this nothing but ineptitude, or is it stratagem? Frankly, I can't tell you. But isn't it true that in either case, it's concerning, to put it mildly? And shouldn't you be making the appropriate preparations? Because the trajectory of the current trend is taking us to a place where we will have to say goodbye to our families and don't worry if I don't come home, you know I'll be in heaven. Every time we walk out the doors, shouldn't we be having this conversation right now? Our president has made every American a target abroad. And now his policies are inviting terrorists into our country who will target civilians here. Jason Chavetz, I assume that's how you pronounce his name, Republican representative for Utah, asked the Homeland Security Chief, Secretary Jay Johnson, some questions about the security of our homeland. He asked whether the security secretary knew of any cases in which terrorists or suspected terrorists were apprehended at the border in this country or who had come into the country illegally. The security secretary said he could not think of any. He diverted the question to the FBI, said perhaps they know of some, but that none came to his mind. The congressman followed up, stating that as recently as September 10, he learned that four suspected terrorists were apprehended crossing our border. People with known ties to terrorist organizations. He asked the security secretary if he had heard about that. Well, the security secretary said he thought he might have heard something about that, but wasn't sure if it was confirmed. What? The congressman reported that 466,000 illegals have crossed our borders in the past 351 days, and our government estimates that at least 157,000 have escaped. Who are they? Where are they? Well, we know some are from terrorist strongholds. 13 have been apprehended coming in from Syria, 6 from Iraq, 4 from Iran. And then there's the recent 4 who were caught in Texas on September 10 with known ties to terrorist organizations. How many more are there in that 157,000 that got across? So what is the president's plan? Well, he's slowly come from having no strategy to a call for airstrikes on ISIS in Iraq, and now, reluctantly, he's given in to expand that into Syria, but he does not want boots on the ground. And what he means is, of course, he doesn't want thousands of troops deployed back into Iraq and now also into Syria chasing down ISIS. I've already talked to the ridiculousness of declaring that and making that kind of a blanket commitment. It's just foolishness, bad leadership, unless he's trying to send a message to his friends over there. He wants to use Iraq's soldiers. And more recently, he has decided he wants to recruit Syrian rebels. And he wants America to arm and train them. Wait a minute. Time out. Remember when the explanation he gave for not getting involved in the Syrian civil war? And do you remember why he balked at sending arms and training to the Syrian rebels then? That it was difficult for him to know whether we were supporting terrorists or that terrorists would co-opt the munitions? That doesn't matter now. At that time, it appeared the leaders of the movement were truly moderate. I mean, I can't remember the guy's name right now, but the leader was well known for his moderate position and his rational policies and so on. This is so weird because now it's completely the reverse. It's way more confusing than it ever was to know who we're dealing with over there. You should see the list of groups that are aligned together with the Syrian rebellion now. The one truly moderate leader, as I mentioned, is gone now. Now the movement involves the Muslim Brotherhood. Surprised? Identified as supporters of terrorism in Egypt by Syrian Democratic People's Army. That's a socialist group who want a socialist version of an Islamic state, the Radical Syrian Islamic Front, and another radical group, the Syrian Islamic Liberation Front, and another, the Islamic Front. These are radical, jihad-headed Muslims. And of course, also, the remnants of what became ISIS is still there. And a whole lot of ISIS is still a group so malignant, by the way, and malicious and evil that, now get this, even Al-Qaeda as an organization separated from ISIS because of their brutality and notorious intractability. Whoa! Isn't this exactly what happened in Egypt when the uprising involved pro-Christian leadership? I mean, early on, when it was a general student uprising against the abuses of Mubarak, Obama hesitated supporting his ousting. But when the movement became dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood, well, then Obama swung into high gear and called for the ousting of Mubarak. Is that just a coincidence? And is that what's happening here? Now that the Muslim Brotherhood stands to make a great gain here in the cause of Islam, you know, with what's going on in Syria and Iraq? Now our president's all for it? Does our Muslim president actually want a revival of the Levant Caliphate? I don't really know the answer to that question, but I could tell you that he keeps doing things that encourage that result. So now that we have to fight both Assad and ISIS, now it's time to overlook the potential problems that kept us out of there in the first place. But friends, those concerns are not only still present, they are far more of a concern now than they ever were before. And I'm not arguing that we shouldn't engage. On the contrary, I'll have to pick this up in the next segment. I've run out of time. Hopefully you understand the reason we need to be concerned about what's going on in Iraq and Syria and why we certainly should be engaged. They're attacking us right now. You hopefully now are ready to get the biblical answer to what we should do about it. I'll be right back.
We Christians complain when our political leaders compromise their values, show contempt for the truth, and forsake the beliefs of our founders. Yet many Christians compromise their own values and beliefs to stay in churches that have forsaken their founders. The fact is, Christian, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Haven't you noticed that every corruption we complain about in our government began in our churches? The answer is clear. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. Lighthouse Baptist Church has answered the call to return to the old paths. Will you? Join us this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Get ready for your brain massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arts, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. Now, we could talk about the NFL ignoring the very bad behavior of some of their players in an effort to protect their bottom line, or the nosy liberals who want to stick their controlling hands into the private affairs and lives and business of men and women all over the world, including yours and mine. And I can make the statement that I think any man who punches a woman in the face is a worthless piece of human debris whose career ought to be flushed down a toilet. Be sure your sins will find you out. And I can add that I also think it's the job of the police to arrest and our courts to try and sentence criminals, but The liberals want to bypass not only the Constitution and the White House these days, but they also want to bypass courts and they want trial by media. But is that really what we need to be concerned about right now? While so many of you are looking over there at the latest Gaga gag moment, or who's that other chick that's trying to out Madonna? Cyrus or someone like that wants to be spanked with a Mexican flag? What? Is that what you want to talk about? Not my audience. People ask me, how do you work through all this negative news and remain cheerful, upbeat, even happy? It's simple. I've read the last chapter. I know where it's all going. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. I'm not afraid of bad news. I'm afraid, however, of the number of people there are out there who want to stick their heads in the sand like a dumb ostrich. People who think if you ignore it, it goes away. If you can't handle the news of what's coming, what are you going to do when it comes? No, folks, I'm talking about this ISIS threat and what really needs to be done about it. If you missed the first segment, I went over why it matters to us. ISIS is calling for jihad on our shores. They are aggressively recruiting people here to identify and kill our soldiers. They're throwing up Nadal Hassan as the Fort Hood shooter as an example they should follow. They are calling for their recruits to find our soldiers and kill them in their homes or on the streets as they did recently in Britain. They're calling for jihad against civilians, too, and the MSM is laying down their justification for doing so with their on and on about our soldiers killing civilians over there and so on. So it's eye for eye and tooth for tooth, as one radical Islamist recently declared. It's only a matter of time. We know for a fact that Islamist radicals have infiltrated our country, hiding among the 477,000 illegals that flooded our borders recently, providing a perfect cover for them to get in. And of the 157,000 who got through, only a fool would assume none of them are radicalized jihadists here to carry out an attack on Americans. And the point is, my friends, we are in this war, whether you like it or not. And whether or not we admit it, they will, and they have already, brought the war to us by beheading American citizens abroad and by declaring their intention to bring jihad to our streets. So what is the right way to address this mess? Obama's strategy seems well enough. Use our air power to pummel them from the air and then use their soldiers to carry out, the boots on the ground part of the campaign. The problem with this plan is the same problem Obama had with that plan during the beginning of the Syrian rebellion, when he did not want to get involved because he could not be sure which side he would be supporting. Now that the revolution is clearly in the hands of radical jihad-headed groups, among them his beloved Muslim Brotherhood, now Obama wants to arm them and train them? Is this Egypt revisited? When the movement to oust Mubarak was led by moderates who were influenced by Christians and students, Barack wanted nothing to do with it. But when it became a Muslim Brotherhood movement, well, Obama was all in, And look what happened. We need to use troops we know are on our side. If we can't find them there, then clearly we would need to send in our own. My response to this is in two parts. First, the proper rationale for our engagement in this matter, or why America should act. And second, the surprising solution to the problem, and when I go there, you'll get a serious rush of brain massage euphoria. First, this is a religious war, my friends. Make no mistake about that. It's a war between the religion of Allah and the religion of Jehovah. This does not mean it's a war between all Christians and all Muslims, at least not from a Christian point of view. Some Muslims are in Islam for the same reason many Catholics are in Catholic religion. They were born in it, reared in it. It's part of their personal and family identity. And when it comes to the doctrines, however, many of them hold them very loosely, if at all, which is why you have so many pro-choice Catholic politicians and why so many Catholics vote Democratic, who see absolutely no conflict between their politics and their religious faith. At the same time, many Catholics are also very conservative politically, and in fact, many of you listen to the Brain Masseur faithfully. Thank you. So I'm not saying this religious war between Allah and Jehovah involves a conflict between all Muslims and all Christians, at least not from a Christian point of view. However, from a radical Islamic point of view, it is a war between Islam and Christianity that involves conflict between every true Muslim and everyone who refuses to Islam, which means to submit to the Muslims' right to rule the world. It's a religious war because the aggressor defines the terms of conflict, and they have declared this to be a religious war. And that is what this is. And we need someone leading this effort who understands that and can wage this war as what it is, a religious war. So how do we do that? Well, we are a Christian nation, let's admit it. Despite Obama's efforts to the contrary, our enemies see us as a Christian nation, and our heritage points to that as a fact. A bunch of believers in the Trinity, and the cross, and Jesus dying on it, and rising again from the dead, pagans in their view, and abominable to the Muslim faith. And this idea that Jesus is the Son of God, God can have no son in Islam. So we are infidels in their eyes and therefore enemies of Islam. And according to Surah 860, a faithful Muslim must terrorize their enemies until they Islam, that is, submit to Allah. In their mind, it's their God against our God, their religion against our religion, their right to rule the world against our presumed right to rule the world. So this country needs to take a stand among the nations as a Christian nation under God. We need to declare, as did George Washington et al., that we depend upon divine providence to assist us as we defend our rights and liberties under God. And by the word God, I mean Jehovah. We need to declare all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. We need to take our place among the nations of the earth as God's divinely appointed possessor of the kingdom. Like Washington, we should desire the promotion of the Christian faith throughout the world. Like Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence and father of the American Revolution, we should rise up and declare, quote, I conceive that we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world that the rod of tyrants may be broken to pieces and the oppressed made free again, that wars may cease in all the earth and that the confusions that are and have been among nations may be overruled by promoting and speedily bringing on that holy and happy period when the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be everywhere established and all people everywhere willingly bow to the scepter of Him who is Prince of Peace. End quote. That's the kind of leadership we need today, repeatedly in Daniel 4, God. And again, we're talking about Jehovah, not Allah. By the way, that distinction defined by the aggressor in this conflict, Islam, would clearly say the God they worship isn't the God the Jews worship. And we worship Jehovah, they worship Allah. They make the distinction, why can't you see it? And God declares Himself to be the possessor of the kingdom and the ruler over all kingdoms of men. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And this God sent His Son into the earth to lay claim to His inheritance. Psalm 2, where God promised the heathen, that is all Gentile nations, would be the inheritance of His Son. Who, by the way, God made Him ruler of Judah and brought Him into the world of Judah, who possesses the scepter forever according to Genesis 49:10. You following this? Jesus is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And in Matthew 28:18, He declared, all power is mine in heaven and in earth. That is, He has the right to rule universally. And that's what He said. He arose from the dead, declared to be the Son of God with power. Romans 1:4. He is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. John 1:1-14. All these are things our founders believed. George Washington believed this. Samuel Adams believed this. Jesus is therefore the ordaining power behind Romans 13:1-6, where it says all powers ordained of God. The powers are ordained, but the rulers who hold the positions of power often are not. Read Hosea 8:4, where God complained they had said they had made themselves kings, but not by Him. You see, they're only legitimate if they're appointed by Him or and recognize His authority. Do you understand that? Jesus offered to Israel the kingdom, that is, the right to rule under God over the dominion of men. But she refused to repent. Therefore, He prophesied that He would withdraw that offer for a time, and He would give it to a nation that brings forth the fruit of the gospel. You read about that in Matthew 21:43, and you read about it being fulfilled in Acts 28:28. According to Patrick Henry, America was birthed upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, and any honest student of our history would agree. This nation was founded as a Christian nation. America received the kingdom from Jesus Christ. That means to America He gave the sword spoken of in Romans 13. Are you hearing me? You Romans 13 fellas, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus is the ordaining authority. He gives the kingdom to whom He will. And He has given the sword to execute God's vengeance against evildoers to His nation. Romans 13:4. That's what we used to believe. This nation not only has the right to engage these evildoers with the sword of divine wrath, we have a moral, civic, and spiritual responsibility or duty to do so. We must stand up to this devil-inspired horde of Muslim marauders who murder Christians and any others who stand in their way in the name of their desert God, and show them the power of the Almighty. We were given the sword in order to use it. Now, does that mean we send boots on the ground? Well, if necessary, it does certainly mean that. Do I agree, however, that we should use soldiers there whom we can depend on, who we can trust? Well, yes. And there is an army there that could take care of this business, just like their great ancestor David did so many centuries ago. Yeah. Let Israel at him. Bring in Israel. Bring in their army and their power, their military might. Israel is without question the rightful power to police that desert, that miserable mess, just as David did when, quote, the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, king of Zobah. David slew of the Syrians 2,000 and 20,000 men, and David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went, 2 Samuel 8:5-6. Now there's the answer, friends. Yeah. The only time that region has had a general peace is after David exercised his divine authority in use of the sword of civil government, which God put in his hand, and he settled the area by the strong arm of military might. Now, God has put that might in America and in Israel. We must quit trying to make nice with these countries and people who consider us the great Satan and Israel the little Satan, and show them the might and power of the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a religious war. Let's engage it for what it is. Here comes Jehovah's might. Break out the Onward Christian Soldiers hymns. Go forward under the cry of our declaration. In the name of Jesus Christ, holder of the scepter of universal authority over heaven and earth. Let's give them a little bit of that. We stand up against you, wicked evildoers. Bow now. Stop your marauding. Stop crucifying Christians. Stop persecuting them. Stop torturing them, or any others for that matter. Stop raping, killing, beheading. Stop now, or face the wrath of God. Friends, that will get their attention in a real hurry. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call me at 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, and lights off if you disagree. The number again is 1-888-770-8000. Don't need the one if you're using a cell phone. If you want to write to me by email, go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, all one word, lowercase, you know the drill. Or just Google The Brain Massage Show and you'll find us. If you're in a hurry, when you call me, you can just say lights on or lights off and then hang up. But if you will, please leave a message. I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on all of these things? But before I sign off, my dear friends, the Brain Masseur needs your help, and I want to express my deep felt gratitude to those of you who have responded so far, especially my friend there in American Canyon, Pastor Stevens. Thank you so much for your gift. I'm just appreciative of those of you who have gone to our website, clicked on that little donate button, and have given us a gift to help us with radio costs. I appreciate it. And I do need your help right now. So please, today, if you possibly can, go to our website, click on the donate button, and make as generous a contribution as you can. And we'll appreciate it. And by the way, don't forget, this coming November, we'll have our third or fourth annual Lights On Banquet. I want you to put it on your calendar right now, November the 14th. We'll serve you a delicious meal and a wonderful time and a great live performance of the Brain Massage Show, and bring you up to speed on what's going on with advancing our program and getting our message out there. You can call the same number, 1-888-770-8000, to reserve your seat now. It's going to be a blowout, November the 14th. Plan to be there. Looking forward to seeing you. We always have a wonderful time. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
King David wanted to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. God's prophet encouraged him and told him it was God's will. For this very special project, David commissioned the building of a brand new cart to carry the precious Ark of God. As they rolled down the road, they hit a bump. To keep the Ark from falling off the cart, the driver reached out and touched it. This brought death to the driver. David became afraid of the Lord. He sent the Ark away and he went home troubled. Later, David understood from the scripture that the only proper way to transport the Ark was for the priests to carry it. He decided to try it again, and this time he did it according to God's instructions, and everything worked out beautifully. David was a good man with good motives, but his plan was flawed. Many good men with good motives are attempting to do a good work, but they're doing it the wrong way, and it has brought spiritual death to our churches. Are you in a new cart church? Come to an Old Path church this Sunday. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
To make a donation, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or mail your gift to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m.